Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
That's beautiful. Oh, God. That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top. Whoa. And here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin
punch
retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome into another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and this is the interview edition of the show. I have got three fire interviews for you here in this episode of the podcast. You're going to hear from Adrian Yanez, who is coming off that stoppage win back at UFC Vegas number 22 against Gustavo Lopez. So spoke to him about his victory, what is next for him, what he is looking to accomplish, and also at the beginning of the conversation, he talks about his love for Dr. Pepper. Then you're going to hear from the CFFC welterweight champion, Basil Hafez, who is going to be defending his title coming up here this week, CFFC 94, as he is going to be challenged by Evan Cutts. Spoke to him about his martial arts journey, how he started in Philadelphia, now training out in Colorado at Factory X, and of course this title fight here this week coming up on Thursday. And then you're going to hear from a man that's going to be a part of CFFC 95, which will be the following day, Garrett Armfield, a fighter that I've had a chance to speak to in the past, trains out of Sanford MMA. So talked to him about his opponent, Mathieu Vogel. Also talked about the mindset there, the motto with Henry Hoof, which is keep it simple, stupid, what that means to him and his goals for 2021. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the podcast. Of course, if there's anybody you ever want to hear on the podcast, you can hit me up on a variety of ways, whether that is on Twitter, Instagram, email. My Twitter and Instagram is the same exact handle, at Jason_Floyd. Of course, email Jason@themareport.com. Actually, I had someone reach out to me, slid into my Instagram DMs, which you can certainly do that. And he mentioned who he'd like to hear on the podcast. Going to try to get some Australian fighters on the show coming up here. So going to be trying to get those fighters on the show here over the next week or two. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the MMA Report podcast on YouTube, putting more and more content up on that channel. Of course, really does help me out a lot if you hit that subscribe. Also, when you're liking those, when you're watching those videos, be sure to hit that like button. That does help me out a lot as well. Myself and Daniel are going to be putting more content up there, going to be putting more clips from the Wednesday episode of the podcast. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, it is Sunday, March the 28th, last night was UFC 260, Francis Ngannou, the new UFC heavyweight champion. And I wrote on Twitter last night, the big thing that my big takeaway from that matchup is just the patience you saw in Francis Ngannou. Did not rush anything, just a beautiful performance by Francis Ngannou. And look, it's very clear the fight that everyone would like to see, and that is Francis Ngannou versus John Jones. Of course, John Jones making it very clear it is show me the money, and you know, he wants to be compensated fairly. And you know, hopefully these two sides can come together. If not, you know, it's going to be Derek Lewis. And of course, we saw that matchup before. Was not an exciting matchup at all. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens there. And look, as a fight fan, I just hope that we do see John Jones and Francis Ngannou, because it's an intriguing matchup. And, you know, the UFC, it's, you know, they've always said they want to give the fights that the fans want to see. And very clearly, this is the fight the fans want to see. I think the only question is whether can the two sides come to a financial agreement on making that fight happen. So we'll see what happens there. But great performance. But overall, last night, great pay-per-view. You know, when we're talking about, you know, for me, it's, you know, $79 after taxes that comes up on my, on my bank statement. And, you know, it was all we can ask for is a night full of entertainment. And that's what the pay-per-view was. You know, right from the start, you look at Malarkey going out there and getting that stoppage win. And then what, you know, Sean O'Malley was doing, you know, tries to have the walk-off knockout in the first round. And, you know, Thomas Almeida survives. But then, of course, then a brutal, just a great performance by Sean O'Malley there. Vicente Luque, he had a great performance as well. Miranda Maverick, I really liked that fight. I thought some of the ground transitions were, you know, really, really fun to watch. Overall, great night of fights last night. Of course, myself and Daniel Galvan will talk more and go more in depth into what happened at UFC 260 coming up on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Well, let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Adrian Yanez, who was coming off a win last week at UFC Vegas number 22. Against Gustavo Lopez. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a third round knockout at UFC Vegas number 22, Adrian Yanez. Congratulations on the victory. You know, one of the things that I got to bring up from the start here, I learned something about you via social media. Did not know you're a Dr. Pepper lover.
Oh yeah, man. I actually love Dr. Pepper, man. I got one right here, man. It's my favorite drink. You know, I'm a true Texas guy. We love Dr. Peppers, man.
I would say Dr. Pepper would be my number two go to soda. I'm a Coke Zero guy.
Oh, we gotta end this right now, man.
So now do you refrain from Dr. Pepper, you know, leading up to the fight? And like, is that like the ritual after the fight of give me the Dr. Pepper as quick as possible you can?
Oh yeah. That's pretty much it. Like I pretty much don't drink Dr. Peppers until like after the fight. This time around, whenever I fought Victor in October, you know, I was asking around. I was like, "Hey, y'all!" Like they're asking me, like, "Hey, well, do you want a soda? Do you want a drink? You know, we got Sprite, we got Coke." And I asked for a Dr. Pepper, and they were like, pretty much what happened is they were like, "Yeah, we have Sprite, we have Coke, but we don't have Dr. Pepper and all that." I was like, "Oh man, this is the one downside about this." And then this next time around, I came and I immediately asked for a Dr. Pepper. And the lady
cleaned up to go find one for me, and I was like, dude, this is so amazing! I get to have a Dr. Pepper like right after a great fight for me. So it was pretty cool, man. It was really, really cool.
And you know, one of the quotes I heard the other day, and I guess a phrase, it says that you only take criticism from people that you would take advice from. And I would think when we're talking about striking, Teddy Atlas would have to be one of those guys. And he had great praise for you where he said, he goes, "I watched an ascending star. He controls range beautifully. He's a concise and deadly counterpuncher with a laser right hand. Yanez wastes nothing. All grandmothers would love this kid. He is a surgeon in there." I heard Ray Longo, he was praising what he saw out of you as well. And I think pretty much everyone said just a beautiful performance. I want to say it was in the second round. You had dropped him, but you didn't go for the finish. Is that just something that you're just like, you know what? No, it's going to be there. I'm going to be patient and wait for that perfect shot to come.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily looking for a finish. I was just looking to make connection. Man, I know what I have in front of me. Like I've seen this guy get dropped before. I've seen him like get back up and keep on fighting and fight his heart out. So I knew what I had in front of me. It's just the fact of like I dropped him. You know, I dropped him, but it was like I heard his corner start saying change levels. So I threw the flying knee, trying to connect it, trying to land, and then after that, we both threw a combination. We both landed, and I was like, he landed as well. Calm down. It's like, cause he has power in his hands. Let me readjust. Let me take my time. Cause I know I can land the shot. I've heard him. I heard him in the first. I heard him in the second. More devastatingly in the second. And then, you know, it was just all about getting my timing. And I was like, okay, I can land the shot again. I just need a time this. And then the third, it finally showed up.
Yeah, and just a walk-off knockout. I know some people had probably messaged me and said, "Hey, thanks for giving me the tip on Yanez. Made a little money for myself on that night." But you know, I got before the fight, had started, when you met with the media last Wednesday, last Thursday, whatever it was, and you, Gustavo went up before you, and Gustavo was like, man, why is this guy getting all the shine around him? And then, of course, you come up after, like, oh, yeah, I heard him. I heard what he said. Did that offer you any additional, like, motivation?
No, man, I don't need motivation to step in the cage, man. That's my thing. Like, I the only motivation I need is just me getting better and wanting to perform. Like, that's my biggest thing. So, like, that's why I was like, man, dude, like if he wants to fight, you know, to me, it's more of like we're going to fight anyways. We both signed the contract. We're going to step in the cage. Whether you want to talk, if you want to talk shit, you can talk shit too. Like, I'm just not going to go out my character and just try to outwardly talk shit. You know, I was like, hey, like, you're going to reap what you sow. Don't, like, hey, it's going to bite you in the butt. And, you know, exactly what it did, you know. And he was like, who's this Adrian Yanez guy that everybody says, you know, come in and knock me out and everything. And I was like, all right, well, you know, like, and he was going in there saying, yeah, he hopes he knocks me out. Like, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. And I was like, oh, you know, like, yeah, of course I hope to knock you out. Like, you know, I know what I have in front of me. I was even saying in the media day, like, I know what I have in front of me. It's not an easy task to do because he's such a tough fighter. He's such, like, one of those guys that if he gets dropped, he comes back up and he's going to fight to the bitter end. And, like I knew I had to be calculated because I know he has power himself. I know what I had in front of me. I think he got too mixed up in the hype and just being like he sees the hype. He saw the hype around me and was like, forgot about my skills. So I think that was the biggest thing. So I saw it and I was like, you know what, there's a little flaw in his mentality right now, and I can chip away at it.
Of course, during the broadcast, Michael Bisping is talking about your coach, Saul Salez, and talking about just, you know, he's like, hey, I worked with him back when I was a younger fighter. And he is, you know, obviously a lot of people have been, you know, talking about him over the past couple of days. But for you as the fighter, if him being, you know, the teacher, the coach, what is the best piece of advice he's ever given you?
Living in the moment. Like, just say it's not even like technical advice or anything like that. He's been more of like some guy I go to for advice and everything. And one of the biggest things that he's seen other fighters do is not live in the moment. He was like, no, you gotta live in this moment. You gotta make sure you make memories. Like, cause one day all this will be gone. Like, I'm big on that. Like, I'm really big on that. I know all this stuff that's like, I'm fighting, flying to Vegas, you know, I get to travel. I'm going to be able to travel the world. I might be able to go to Abu Dhabi. I might be able to go to China and all that stuff just off of this fighting, you know, and I can't sit here and not reflect and see what's all going on around me. Like, I enjoyed going to Vegas. I enjoyed being in that space. I enjoyed, you know, being able to take my brother, my real good friend and training partner, Jacob Silva, and then also my coach, like, who's like a big role model to me. So, like, being able to take them with me and going to a fight, like, in fighting at the highest level, to me, like, that's like, I can relive those moments. And I can, like some fighters, you know, they'll go out there and be able to be like, oh man, I went out there and I fought. Like, no, I go out there and I can still feel like the walking out to the cage. I can still feel the steps walking into the cage and everything. Like I can remember it. And I, mm-hmm. like, it's really good memories. And I live in the moment. We've been taking pictures. Like, that's the biggest thing, because once it's all gone, man, it's gone. So that's one of the biggest advice, or like technical, like not technical advice, but like just like things that he's told me all around that's really stuck with me. And you know, which is great, because like, if it wasn't for that advice, I wouldn't, like, I'd just be taking it fight by fight, being like, I just want to fight and not think about anything else, you know. So it's really cool. That part was like the best advice I think he's ever given me.
Of course, and you go out there, you get the win. I gotta imagine May 15th is kind of the day you've got circle at this point.
Oh yeah, I want that fight, man. I really want that date, like March 15th. Being able to fight in my hometown, like on the day everything opens up, like everything's already open, but being the like one of the first live fighting events that's gonna have like full capacity at the Toyota Center, to me is like the cherry on top. It would cap my 2021without it being halfway over, you know. So I think that's the one thing I'm really looking at, and I really hope I can get that date, man. I don't think I'm not gonna get that date, but I'm just still kind of in that phase, like, you know what, like, there's a chance I might not, but, you know, I want to make sure I try to get this.
I guess, you know, obviously you put a beautiful performance. I imagine health-wise, all things good, already back in the training room?
Man, I took a couple days off. I actually had to get an x-ray on my hand, my right hand, but I feel like everything's fine. You know, they told me no contact for a couple days, but, like, I'm probably not going to listen. But, no, I feel good, man. I feel real good. Like, the soreness, like, actually, what's actually really funny is after the fight, I got no sleep whatsoever. I got no sleep on the plane ride back. Like, I literally, like, I have the Aura Ring app that sponsors the UFCPI, and it calculated no sleep data from my fight to the next day, and it just, you can only see like the rest parts. And then I finally got to sleep on Sunday night, and I woke up Monday feeling the fight soreness that day. I didn't feel it on Sunday. I felt the fight soreness on Monday, and I was like, oh man, this hurts. So I'm just taking a couple days off, and I'll be back in the gym tomorrow for sure, for absolute sure tomorrow.
You know, when I think about all the content I've taken in about you over the past couple of days, you know, one of the things they kind of talked about is that you're an equal opportunity puncher. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, high, middle, low, you're going to go for it. And it made me think of a conversation I had with Dustin Jacoby about 2 weeks ago where we were talking about body shots. Because the conversation was kind of talking about bare knuckle and how the U.S. version of bare knuckle, it's headshots. It's not going to the body. And he talked about, he's like, you know, body shots, in a way, it's kind of like something that we all as fighters don't pay enough attention to. Is that a big part of your training on a day in, day out basis?
Yeah, actually, we emphasize the body a lot, just because honestly, one of the biggest things that, like, my dad telling me is, like, you know, wherever the body goes, the head will follow. So to me, that's one of the, like, I try to implement that a lot. You know, especially in sparring, I really want to get that, like, I really want to get the body shots going. But in a fight, I want to do it a little bit more, you know, like, I'm trying to do a little bit more with my hands, especially in a fight. You know, you can do it in training camp all day. You can do it in sparring sessions, feel comfortable throwing them, but I want to get more comfortable with being able to throw them in a fight. But since this fight, I was like, I knew the power that would be returning. I saw that he was, every time I let go with the hands, he was trying to return something. I knew if I would have dropped a little bit of my level and tried to go to the body shots with the hands, I knew that it was going to be right in line for one of his hooks. So I was like, okay, let me keep it a little bit long range and distance, and you know, use my feet. Like, I was like, let me use these front kicks to the body. Keep the distance and make them slow down a little bit here and there. And honestly, it worked. You know, me going to the body doing that, you know, had him a little figgity to start. And then he was like, he was very tentative to even come forward as soon as he saw the knee come up. He's like, oh, the body. I saw his hands kind of drop to his chest every single time that my knee came. I was like, oh, it's coming. So I had him thinking twice about it. So, you know, I don't mind if I can mix it up and go everywhere and keep him guessing and open up shots. I'm definitely open to that. And, you know, being able to work the body, that's really big in my game. And I really want to keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, of all the comments that have come your way, I think the one comment that really stuck out to me was more of, they were saying, Adrian just knows when to get in and out, when he gets in and out of range. Is that just something that you and the coaches there just kind of that footwork of just that's like a key component? And because, I mean, obviously there's going to come times where, you know, you want to throw some punches, but you also got to be smart about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The finishing sequence was something that we drill on the mitts all the time. Like, we drill that, like, right there all the time. We throw the jab not intending to land. It's almost like a feint, but we're throwing it. And, like, we just do a little step off the center and just throw the straight right, you know, where right originally where, like, my head's off center, but my head, like, it's – so I throw the jab and not intending to land it. He wants to counter off of it, and I just move a little bit off the center but keep my hand in the same position where I can throw – where I'd be able to throw it and land. So – you know, that's all mitt work that we do, you know, every single time. And then there's a couple times, like, in that sequence where I dropped him, you know, I missed a couple punches, like in the second round where I missed a couple punches. And we implement that into our pad sessions all the time. We make sure that I'm throwing, if I'm throwing, you know, I got to make sure I miss, because a lot of people, you know, they miss one shot, they stop throwing. You know, I'm like, if I miss one shot, expect two more to come back around. Cause just because you miss one shot and you're throwing a four punch combination, the last one's going to land. So that's the mentality I keep. And, you know, it's really been beneficial for me as well, you know? So, like getting the knockouts, getting, especially this last one, you know, that we worked that literally before we walked out, that was one thing that we were drilling, you know, touch, feint the jab, right hand, you know, it worked perfectly. So we work on a lot all the time, you know, especially with me being able to dedicate like this full training camp just for this fight was very beneficial. We got a lot more time to drill, and everything that we drilled, you know, like pretty much came to fruition in this fight.
2-0 in the UFC, 250K bonuses. Life's good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Life is good.
Are you planning to treat yourself to a something, maybe you want to buy yourself something nice with that money?
Oh man, it's all going to investments now. I'm gonna look to invest into something here pretty soon. I have a great team. You know, Iridium is a really great team. So we actually have like James Krause. You know, thank goodness to that guy, because he's gonna have an investment seminar here pretty soon.
Yeah, I heard about that
with Iridium Sports. So I'm definitely tuning into that too. You know, because I want to be able to want my money to make money. So that's exactly what I want. So to me, you know, it's great opportunity, and I want to invest. You know, I don't want to have to work after I'm done fighting. You know, I only want to do what I want to do I only want to do what I love. You know, and that's MMA. And then after that, you know, if I can get into coaching, doing all that stuff, that'd be great for me too. So it's like MMA is my world, and if I can use the money that I made from MMA to supplement everything else in my life, then and like invest into it and like set me up, you know, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm striving for. You know, and the biggest thing that I've been telling everybody is like, man, just imagine the stress of me not having to work. I was like, now just imagine the stress of me not having to fight for money and me just having to fight for fun. Just imagine how much dangerous that guy's going to be. I was like, just imagine, because I love fighting. You don't have to motivate me to fight. I can just go out there and fight. So just imagine, like, I don't have to worry about a win bonus or anything like that. Just imagine how my fighting style is going to be implemented whenever I don't have to worry about money.
And of course, you got to set that money aside to pay Uncle Sam, because Uncle Sam, yeah. That invoice is coming.
he's coming.
as someone who is self-employed, yes, Uncle Sam, he comes every year. He comes every year looking for that money.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, like, man, I've been paying my taxes. Don't worry. I'm not in no other fighter situation. I want to be ahead of that. I want to be on the ball on that for sure.
I remember the first time I had to cut a check to IRS. I was like, this isn't fun.
Oh no,
it's a lot better getting the refund than having to pay out.
Yeah.
My wife learned real quick, there is no refunds in this house anymore. we got to make those quarterly payments.
Oh man, I'm not looking forward to that either.
You know, I'll say is those are good problems to have. That means you're doing well, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. If the money can go to someone being helped out, you know, that's, I would rather want that. I would rather it going to help somebody else out. So, you know, if it goes to good things, you know, I'd be very happy.
And of course, we look forward to seeing. Maybe it's May 15th, the next time we see you back in the Octagon. Adrian, as always, appreciate time. Of course, let me know anything for you on social media. And anything else you want to mention?
Oh man, follow me at Yanez MMA on Twitter, Adrian Yanez 93 on Instagram. You can friend request me on Facebook. I'm still not at 5,000 yet, so I'm still good on that. If I'm at 5,000, then you can follow me on my fan page at Adrian Yanez MMA on Facebook. But also, I do have a website, and I do plan on doing a little bit more on there, getting more in tune with everybody, you know, share a little bit more personal stuff on there. And like, if you want to get to learn about me, also, I do have merch, and you can get a hat like this, you know, have these hats made. I have three colors, red and white and black. So I think it'd be pretty cool, you know, getting some merch out there, having a having everybody who's supported me these last couple of days, you know, get a hat and all that stuff. I do have shirts out too as well.
And that was my conversation with Adrian Yanez. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his win against Gustavo Lopez there at UFC Vegas 22 just over a week ago at this point of the recording of this show. And, of course, great stuff there at the beginning of the interview as he's talking about his love for Dr. Pepper and hoping to be on that May 15th card in Houston. It would make all the sense in the world to put Adrian Yanez on that show, especially, you know, with how many fans are going to be in attendance. And, you know, that was kind of one of the interesting things last night at the post-fight press conference. I was sitting on the couch after the fights and I was watching Dana White speak. And, you know, he's kind of alluding to the fact of, you know, they've got a meeting on Monday to figure out what they're going to do with the fight night cards, whether they're going to stay in Vegas or maybe they're going to take those back things out on the road. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how this thing does play out with the UFC going back to crowds. And obviously UFC 261, you know, sold out in a matter of minutes. The secondary market is absolutely crazy on that one. So definitely it's not an environment I would put myself in, but I know there's a lot of fight fans who will definitely be there in attendance. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Basil Hafez, who's going to be defending the CFFC welterweight title comp here on Thursday night, April the 1st, as he's going to be challenged by Evan Cutts. So I had a chance to talk to the reigning and defending champion there at CFFC. Spoke to him about his start in mixed martial arts and how a guy from Philadelphia ends up deciding to move his training at the Factory X in Colorado. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be fighting here April 1st as he defends his CFFC welterweight title. Basil, I appreciate the time. I know it's the first time that we've had a chance to talk, and you've been at this thing for a long time. Looking at Topology, 2012 is your amateur debut. So how did this martial arts journey start for you?
It started because I was always getting in street fights as a kid, and I turned 18. I got in one fight that I got in trouble with, and kind of realized, like, yo, maybe I should try this martial arts thing and organize instead of fighting in the street and just doing stupid stuff. And so my cousins were training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the time at Balance Studios in Philadelphia under Ricardo Miglerice, and, you know, kept on talking to me about it, and I kept on going, yeah, maybe. And then I just, you know, one day I just shut up and I just got in the gym and been hooked since and been at it since.
What was it, you know, first day in the gym, immediate love?
Yeah. I mean, so I went on like a Sunday class, which at Balance was like open mat at the time, competition team training. And I met Ricardo. It was actually funny because when I met Ricardo, it was like, he just like looked at me. He was like, what's up? And they just kept walking, you know? And I'm like, all right, I like that. I got to earn the respect. I got to earn the yo, what's up, man? How you doing? So like, it was a cool like atmosphere at first when I first stepped in. And then I just fell in love with it more and more as I went. I was at Balance Studios when I first started. Then I went to Fight Factory, and I was at Philadelphia Fight Factory with Zach Bukowski, Eddie Alvarez, a bunch of guys that are big Philly names were there. I was there towards the latter half of it. I think 2 years in, it like shut down. They closed the gym. Stephen Hank shut it down, and ended up going back to Balance just full time.
So how do you end up in Colorado?
You know, things in Philly are they've gotten to be a little hit or miss with training. Just more or less the structure that's here, the way it's set up for a fighter to be successful is top notch. I was getting amazing jiu-jitsu training in Philly with Ricardo Miglerice, great striking training with Andy Russell, my old striking coach in Philadelphia. But, you know, the issue wasn't really the technique. It was more the being prepared for a fight, you know, the fight IQ aspect of it, the MMA aspect of it. And we didn't really have that at Balance. I've actually had never had that my whole career, really. It's never really been MMA structure. It's more or less I go to no gi or gi class, and then we do a little bit of striking here and there, and then it's like, all right, go spar, guys. So I haven't, like, this is new to me, and I'm loving it, and I really feel like I'm improving a lot being here at Factory X, learning under Coach Mark Montoya, especially training with all the, you know, savages that are here. It's just gonna help me level up. You know, I'm confident, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, I'm confident in the ground game. I want to be able to become a black belt on the feet as well. I want to be able to knock guys out in an exciting fashion and then be able to submit them on the ground and wrestle them. So, you know, I definitely have been improving. I've only been here for about a month, but, you know, I've definitely improved a lot already, and I'm excited even past this fight for the future. But, you know, I'm not looking past Evan Cutts. He's a tough guy. He's 11-4. He hasn't been finished. My goal is to be the first fighter to finish him.
So you mentioned about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So do you have a preference on gi or no gi?
It's crazy because I used to be heavy, like obsessed with no gi. And then I transitioned to liking gi more. And then now I think it's more no gi. But honestly, I'm comfortable with either. If I showed up and teachers ever brought gi stuff and no gi stuff and I was expecting to go to gi class and I find out it's no gi, all right, whatever. I'm cool with that. You know, I've gotten to the point where I'm comfortable with each, to be honest. I love rolling gi and I love rolling no gi.
You know, in terms of, you know, you mentioned, you know, you've now been out at Factory X for over a month now. And, you know, Coach Montoya is someone that I've known for a long time, you know, and Fires will talk about, you know, just, you know, what he is like as a coach. You know, what has, you know, was there something that stuck out to you about Coach Mark immediately once you stepped in the gym there?
He's definitely like he has an aura and energy with him that stands out. You know, you notice it and you feel it and it excites you, you know, to be better and do better. It's honestly, and I don't mean this as a cliche, but he reminds me a lot of my striking coach back in Philly when I was in Philadelphia, and even the overall mindset of my coaches in Philly with not just being about training and structure, but also growing as a person and becoming a better human being and overall that affecting your career and your fight life. And so, it's like an extension of Philadelphia, honestly. Mark reminds me so much of that. He's so obsessed with, you know, you make your bed in the morning. The idea of you get up, you do what you're supposed to do because it's going to help you become elite. You're going to do it the goal of being elite, not just average. So, you know, everything from what time we get there to what time we train to how hard we train to what we're drilling to what we're doing during the drilling. You know, it's very, I'm not going to say military mindset, but like always focused on improving and not playing around. So I love that, man. I love the no game mentality. This is a no games business. You know, you lose, you can get cut from any promotion. You win, you're on top of the world. So my goal is to always improve and continue to try and put a win out and not get lost. So I have one loss as a pro, and I'm excited for this fight. I'm excited to fight Evan and prove that I deserve to be in the top promotions.
Is the mindset any different heading into this as a champion as opposed to the challenger?
No, it's the same mindset in my opinion. It's based on the fighter, you know, whatever fighter I'm fighting is the kind of whatever fighter I'm going against is the style that I got to figure out. But, to me, it's the same pressure. The belt is cool. Being a CFFC champ is great, but that's not the overall goal. I'm not going to retire on the laurels of, oh, I'm a CFFC champ. Yeah. They're a great promotion and they've sent a lot of guys to the UFC. They're one of the top, if not one of the top promotion for local fighters. But, you know, my goal is the UFC or ONE or Bellator. I want to become a world champion in a larger promotion. And I want to show what I have what it takes to be in these larger promotions. You know, I've been at it for a while, like you said, but I've had injuries. I've had things that come along the way. You know, it's as a fighter, we're always, I mean, most every fighter knows what I'm talking about. Like things happen in life. And when being a fighter, it's not like, oh, I can just put everything aside and focus on this. It's like, you know, we don't make that much money off of fighting. We have to put a lot into our training, a lot into our body, a lot into our diet, because it all is catered to exactly making weight and being in top shape. And so, you know, things haven't always been the smoothest rides. You know, I've had slip ups, I've had things come up, I've had injuries, I've had this happen. If it was up to me, yeah, it'd be great to not have to focus on life and just be able to focus on improving and training and fighting and winning. But where I'm at now is a good point in life. And you know, the only thing on my mind is training. The only thing on my mind is improving and getting a win in the next fight and working towards that UFC contract or larger promotion contract.
I mean, you mentioned about your goals, but how is there something you do to get your mind off the fight game? And obviously, as we're talking here, you know, we're a week out from this fight. Like, is there something that you do hey, man, I just, you know, sometimes just, you know, chill on the couch. That's how I get my mind off the fight game.
I like to relax, maybe play a little Call of Duty, play a little video games or like watch something, like watch a little Rick and Morty or something. But I honestly don't really take my mind off the fight. That's all I'm focused on. Everything I'm doing every single day at this fight camp is for this fight. Well, I'm cutting weight. I'm watching what I eat. You know, I'm not doing certain things. I'm not going out here. I'm not doing that. I'm going to bed early. I'm waking up early. It's like my lifestyle is a little different when I'm in fight camp just because – you know, I can't eat that slice of pizza, or I can't go order when it's late, and I can't sleep in, miss training, or whatever it may be. So to me, it's always on my mind. With everything I do, every single day, even to this interview, it's all related to the fight. And so to me, it's not really leaving my mind. The thing at least I'm trying to get in my mind is like the think of what happened, what happens, what happens. What if he does this? What if he does that? Yeah, I kind of like shut that out, and then I'll have points where I meditate and I think about it. But man, everything I do every day is just I'm thinking about making weight, thinking about stepping in that cage and getting my hand raised again. So that's all that's on my mind, and I enjoy it. You know, I don't really think about the result more than I think about the fight itself. You know.
You mentioned about Evan, your opponent here. And of course, I mean, obviously there's a lot of reasons for, you know, why a fighter was unable to get a fight in 2020. Obviously we all know the obvious reason, you know, so he hasn't fought since the end of 2019. Do you go into the fight with a mindset of, okay, I mean, yes, this guy's a veteran. He's had 15 professional fights. So I've got a good framework of what he does, but is there part of you in the team that sits there and says, you know what? Maybe we got to do a little filling out process to maybe see if he does show us something in that first 30 seconds of the fight of something we just haven't seen on film leading up to this.
Yeah, I mean, that always is somewhat true to an extent when the fighter's out for a long time. You know, either they come back worse or they come back with some new tricks in the game. This pandemic affected everyone. So a lot of guys weren't fighting. A lot of guys maybe got one fight. I'm not treating it like he's coming with anything spectacular and I'm going to be wowed, you know, but I'm also not treating it like he's been gotten worse over the pandemic. I'm treating it like he's maybe the same fighter he was when he won that fight. And I'm treating it like he's dangerous on the feet and on the ground. I just believe confidently in myself that I'm much better in grappling. I'm a much better black belt. I'm better in the clinch. I'm better at wrestling. And I feel like I'm a much better striker, even at the point I'm at now. So to me, it's not really, I think about, you know, oh, what is he going to come at me with? But, you know, I've been training everything that I could possibly prepare for throughout the camp. And, you know, I've seen what he is on paper. He's not going to all of a sudden become, if he's a giraffe, he's not going to become a lion. And if he's a lion, he's not going to become a moose. I don't know. He's the guy who he is, and he has a style. So, you know, I'm confident, supremely confident in myself that no matter what he tries to bring or is going to maybe show different, I'm preparing to finish Evan. And whether that happens in the first round, second round, third round, or fourth round, my goal is to finish him, get my hand raised, and show that, you know, I'm a dominant fighter, and then I won that in dominant fashion.
One of the things I like to do is allow my listeners to kind of get to know you as more than the fighter, you know, of you as the person. So, you know, we're all on our phones all the time, you know, whether it's social media or whatnot. When it comes to your phone outside of social media, is there a go-to app that you find yourself on constantly?
No. I mean, my stocks. I'm on my TD Ameritrade, my Robinhood, my Voyager app a lot. That's pretty much it. Instagram kind of is a one-stop shop. You want to get a little entertainment, you go to Instagram. You want to see what's going on, you just go to Instagram. So if I'm not on Instagram, I don't really have a need to be on my phone other than my stocks maybe. But, maybe talking to people, just trying to catch up with people, keeping up with everything, tickets and stuff for the fight and sponsors. If it's up to me, I'm trying to be off my phone. Yeah. And I'm going to do something else. But, you know, if I'm going to go on Instagram, that's pretty much it. There's really not much else, in my opinion, that should be worth the time on the phone.
So what got you involved in investing in stocks?
So I dabbled with it when I was a little younger and I kind of didn't know what I was doing at all. Still kind of don't know, but didn't really make any money, lost money, whatever. Didn't put a few dollars in. And then a friend of mine, during the pandemic, when everything hit and crashed, talking to a couple friends that are invested, they were like, you know, think outside of fighting, you know, this is something you could do where you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to work full time. You know, if you make right choices and you day trade right, then you can make income and still focus on your career and fighting. So I had friends that are work for Vanguard or work for here and there, and they kind of like, you know, pushed me into it and gave me the right advice. And I've done pretty good over the year with the stocks. And so, you know, it takes the stress off of having to worry about shit. I gotta get a job after this fight, or, you know, I gotta do something during fight camp because I can't afford to continue to get meals, or, you know, it definitely takes a lot off it. But I'm excited for my future as a fighter, and then we'll see what happens with the stock market.
Final thing. So if you walk into Factory X later today and you have control of the music that's playing in the gym, what would be the go-to genre that goes on?
Oh man, I'm the wrong person to ask. I listen to like everything. I love good classic rap, classic hip hop, like, old school Snail or Cool J or Biggie, or like, you know, I like Vinny Paz and Jedi Mind Tricks, coming out to Jedi Mind Tricks, actually. But I also like, you know, like techno, house music. I like some rock, like System of a Down. I like everything, man. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I don't know what I'd pick. I'd probably just hit my playlist and it's got everything and it'd just be randomized.
And of course, everyone's going to see your fight here come up here April the 1st, CFFC 94, as you defend your welterweight title. Of course, event streams live on UFC Fight Pass. I appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know they can follow you on social media and anything else you want to mention. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Jason. And I want to thank my team, Factory X, all my training partners, everyone that's helped me prepare for this fight. Oh my God, all the coaches, everyone at Landau Performance, Denver Sports Recovery, everyone that's really had a part in this camp, and Coach Mark Montoya. And then I also want to thank my sponsors, Blade and Badger Barbershop, Dependable Solutions, Delco Steaks, Cheerleader Gentlemen's Club in Philadelphia, Iridium Best Management in the Game, Evolve Meal Preps, Leonard Altieri Township Supervisor, Mobility Intel, May May Restaurant, Philadelphia, Turnersville Family Dentistry, Westchester Pizza Cafe, Adam Olson Fitness, and New Medea Restaurant. I know it's a lot, but thank you all sponsors that helped me out with this camp, that have supported me. You guys have helped me chase my dream, and I'm going to reach that soon, hopefully.
Great stuff there from Basil Hafez. I appreciate him coming on the podcast. You talk about his matchup coming up this week, his title defense against Evan Cutts at CFFC 94. Of course, that event will be streamed on UFC Fight Pass. Definitely a guy to pay attention to. You have to imagine that if he gets a win this week, that likely, you know, one of the, you know, Bellator or the UFC is going to come calling. And in that interview here, he's keeping his options open, but obviously you can see, you know, he's looking at getting that big offer, you know, and we'll see, you know, the big opportunity that could come for him with the win come up here later on this week. Of course, the following night will be CFFC 95, and that is my final guest will be a part of that show. Garrett Armfield trains out of Stanford MMA. He's going to be taking on Mateo Vogel, and had a chance to speak with Garrett about a range of topics, and, you know, along with his fight, his goals for 2021. And what his definition of the Henry Hoof system is, which the motto down there at Stanford MMA is keep it simple, stupid. So here's my conversation with Garrett Armfield. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's going to be stepping back inside competition, CFFC 95, April the 2nd. Garrett, man, as always, appreciate the time. You know, I was looking over your Instagram. I see you're enjoying the beach life down there in South Florida, one of the benefits of living in our state of Florida here. So, man, yeah. How's things been, man?
I mean, things have been great. You know, I couldn't be happier with how training's been lately and, you know, my friends, my family out here. It's been a great time down here in South Florida. You know, great weather every single day. I mean, I'm outside right now. It's 85. I mean, like 2 days ago, my family was sending me pictures of snow in Missouri, and they got like 10 inches. And so I'm just lucky to be out here and, you know, grinding.
Yeah, I was leaving my main office today and hopped in the car. It was 88 degrees. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's like,
yeah, and it's almost too high.
I feel like we're in midsummer already.
Yeah, that's what, and I'm a waiter at work. And so on the side, I'm a waiter, excuse me, and I'm water loading right now for my weight cut, and oh my gosh, it's so hot. It's 88-90 degrees, and I'm sweating at these tables. I literally have like sweat dripping off of me onto the table, and they just look at me like, you need a towel? I'm like, no, I'm good, I'm sorry. But man, yeah, the heat.
So have you waited on anyone that's recognized you as a professional fighter?
Nobody like has pointed me out as like name wise, obviously, but like due to having cauliflower ears and just have like the stature of a fighter, I get millions and millions of questions. And a lot of the times, like if I'm really busy and I don't have time to talk about it, be like, we're like, were you born that way? And I was like, yeah, I was born that way with cauliflower ears. And like half the time they believe me and it gets really awkward. But yeah, a lot of questions about it.
Do you remember what age you were when you got your first cauliflower ear?
So I actually got it in high school when I was like 16 years old. My ears, for some reason, are always like super sensitive to it, to the cauliflower ear. And so I actually had it during wrestling in high school with wrestling headgear on. I had it a little bit and then it stopped. And then whenever I turned 19, that's when I started getting it. And at that time, I was getting ready for like my first amateur title fight. And the most important thing to me in the world, and like still today, is fighting. So I was like, I'm not going to take a break. It's just cauliflower. I'll deal with it some other time. And so, yeah, got it. Got both ears now. Pretty bad.
That's a sign that, you know, likely you are a professional fighter. Of course, you know, training down there at Sanford, I think it's widely known about what the motto is of Henry Hoof System, you know, keep it simple, stupid. What does that mean to you?
A lot of times people try to reinvent the wheel when it comes to their striking. And at the end of the day, it's just basics that work. I mean, we drilled the same basics every single Monday night, and they expect us to do the same moves in our sparring. And so, you know, keeping everything simple, keeping calm and taking control of the situation. You know, when people try to complex things, they kind of like lose sight of what's, you know, the simple things of what's happening. You know, a simple jab cross can be a lot more effective than a spinning heel kick, flying elbow, you know.
Yeah.
Simple ones. And our team has proven that time and time again. We've gone out there and we've finished our opponents, and we'll continue to do so with the keep it simple system.
You know, in talking to other fighters, they talk about, you know, there's always things you're working on in the gym. Sometimes they correlate to fight night, sometimes they don't. Like, has that ever been an issue for you?
To where you kind of game plan for the wrong thing during for the fight? No, not exactly. I've had a fight before where I was kind of unprepared because I didn't do my research for it. And I didn't really know who I was going up against, kind of just went in there to the fight. And that was actually my one loss, and I paid the price for that one and got my butt kicked. But, you know, honestly, like, game planning for this fight, it's kind of just been just get better. You know, lately I haven't really been, like, specifically, like, yeah, I understand he's a ground fighter, and so I've been, you know, focused more really on the ground for this fight camp. But, you know, nothing completely specific. It's just always evolving, always getting better, you know. It's mixed martial arts. You got to be great at everything, so might as well train everything and just be the best at everything.
You mentioned about your opponent and the ground aspect of it. What, as you popped in the film, what was it about his ground game that stuck out to you?
His ground game that stuck out to me was that, they call him the Tick. That's his fight name is the Tick. So he actually is very good job at, you know, staying stuck to his opponent and latching on. But I mean, the training we get down here, and my training partners, I have training partners that are exactly like him, that are going to do the exact same things that he does. It's nothing I haven't seen before. I mean, maybe it was something I haven't seen in a live fight before, but I'm ready. I'm prepared for it. He's going to want to go to the ground, and I'm ready to go to the ground as well. I'll counter wrestle. I'll sweep. I'll reverse. I'll be ready.
Do you think that he doesn't want to stand with you, or do you think that just because his game is so ground based that that's just, you know, what he's ultimately going to want to do?
Just from like history of his previous fights, it just seems he's gone to the or attempted to go to the ground in every single fight. It doesn't seem like he doesn't like to stand up. It doesn't seem like he's extremely comfortable there. And honestly, that's where my bread and butter is. That's where my home is. And I started karate when I was 4 years old. You know, I'm not intimidated by anybody striking. If anything, they should be intimidated by me. And so I'm ready to go out there and keep it standing, go to the ground, whatever it is. You know, you should be worried about my striking. So, you know, to keep it simple, it's Henry Hoof style. Yeah. Everybody should be worried.
As you look at 2021, I mean, obviously, you're just worried about this fight, obviously. But, you know, have you set some goals for 2021 on what you want to accomplish?
Yeah, my main goal is, of course, get this win. It'll put me at 6-1, and that's, you know, a perfect spot for contender series. And if not, I'll keep getting fights, keep getting wins, keep getting finishes, and I want to do a short notice replacement for UFC. You know, any other major organization as well. But, you know, the motto, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's what we do.
Is it simply of just watching your weight 24/7 to make sure you don't get too big after a fight?
I have the highest metabolism ever. And so, like, if I'm not eating 3,000 calories, I'll lose weight. Like, I have to be eating so much, plus the training. And so weight cuts are super easy for me. As soon as I get to, like, the first stage where I cut a portion of my carbs out, I lose, like, 5 pounds in, like, 2 days. Wow. And that's not being, like, water-based. It'll be, like, you know, carbs. So, you know, I never walk around super heavy. I usually stay pretty lean, and I just, you know, like eating clean, you know, eat clean, you feel good. So
when you're eating that amount of calories, I mean, how many times a day are you eating?
Oh, like 5-6 times a day. And then, you know, you'll wake up at like midnight, 1 a.m. and you'll go eat an entire sleeve of rice cakes or something, you know, and then next thing you know, you had just 100 carbs at dinner or at right before you go to sleep. And then so your nutritionist would be like, hey, man, you shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, I know, but I got the metabolism, I can get away with it. And he's like, well, for now you can.
You say a sleeve. You say a sleeve of rice cakes. I say like a sleeve of Oreos. I mean, we're just a little different. Yeah,
yeah. You know, I mean, as long as it's clean, we're good. You know, I love my Oreos though. I try to stay away from those. Like, you take Oreos and you dip them in a half and half, like heavy whipping cream. It's so bad for you. It's so good.
Like, when the fight's over, do you have like a go to list of like, okay, I'm gonna have a couple of cheat days that I'm going to?
I do. I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but McDonald's, I love McDonald's, but like, okay, I don't eat it during fight camp ever. But that's like kind of one of my cheat meals. I'll be like, okay, I haven't ate that in like 3 months. And then I go and I order like $10 worth of McDonald's, which $10 at McDonald's, that feeds like a freaking army. And I'll eat it. And then afterwards I'll instantly regret it. But I always got to get out of the way. But I always crave that. I always crave, you know, sushi, but that's not too bad for you. And then I'm a sucker for ice cream as well. So I got a couple cravings and a cold beer, that as well.
All right. What's the go-to ice cream?
Go-to ice cream? Oh, butter pecan. Of course, always butter pecan. And then if not that, if I'm feeling like a little different, then, you know, some birthday cake ice cream too. Kind of been a fan of that. It's always like those. And like, you ever have the Bang energy drinks?
I've never had a Bang energy drink.
Okay, well, you're going to have one, and then literally probably won't ever want to drink caffeine again because it's way too much. But they have a birthday cake flavored one, and it's my favorite one. So good.
For me, it would be cookie. It'd be cookies and cream ice cream. That's always been my go-to. That's always been my go-to. Do you got a go-to beer?
Lately, I've been like kind of like on like a dark beer lately. So, I mean, like a Guinness sounds good, like a stout. Or Modelo Negra has been like my go-to as well. It's really good. I don't know. I work at a Mexican restaurant, and so like I've been around Mexican beers a lot lately, and so I've been like Dos Equis Amber, that one too. Just been on a dark beer kick lately, but nice, professional. What about you?
I'm a Stella guy. That's one of my go-tos. Sometimes like when you travel, you try to find a local, craft beer.
Are you a fan of IPAs?
Not really.
Me neither. People are like, that's so refreshing. It's like it's tasting like bitter. It's like a bitter. It's too bitter for me.
Yeah, we here in Tampa, we got Cigar City, so we're spoiled a little bit with those beers.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's but if I could want to treat myself, it'll probably be like a glass of Jack Daniels. I'm really gonna get down.
Are you Jack guy? If I ever go whiskey, I gotta go Maker's Mark. That's been my thing. I don't know why. That one. Never been a big fan of Jack though, but you know.
Sometimes I when I'm at home, I might pour a little too much. I remember for the last pay-per-view, it was like right before like the main event. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go pour me a glass of Jack. Pour it, throw a little Coke in it. And then I'm like, I took the first step, like, oof, it's a little strong.
You're like, oh, meant to pour two fingers. I think I poured about four fingers in there.
Exactly. But, of course, you got the fight here April the 2nd. Garrett, as always, man. I appreciate the time. Let everyone know where they can find you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Shout out to all my sponsors, my team, Sanford MMA. Thank you guys so much for everything you've done. Springfield Fight Club, you guys well. I wouldn't be here without you guys. I love all you guys. I'm so ready to fight. I've never been more ready in my entire life. And just knock this one out of the way and then continue the chapter forward and see what's next.
And there was my conversation with Garrett Armfield. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his fight coming up here this week on Friday night, CFFC 95. Of course, that is an event that will be streamed on UFC Fight Pass, taking on Mateo Vogel. Great stuff there from Garrett. Also, it was interesting to kind of hear him talk about what keep it simple, stupid means to him. And definitely when you look at his record, he goes out there, he's going to be a guy that I think potentially we could see in the UFC at some point this year. Maybe he's a guy that we see on the Contender Series, which I want to say is coming back in, I want to say June or July is what there was a reports of earlier within the past couple of weeks. So definitely a fighter to keep your eye out for. Of course, as always, appreciate everyone who gives me time to come here on the MMA Report podcast. Of course, Interview Edition comes out every Sunday. Every Wednesday, it's myself and Daniel Galvan. Coming up on Wednesday's podcast, we are going to take a look back at UFC 260. Also, we are going to preview Bellator. Bellator is back finally as they are making their debut on Showtime coming up here on Friday night. Really looking forward to seeing the return of Bellator. And I did my Bellator rankings. I finished those up last Sunday. They actually had to be in by Monday. So they should be released at any point. I would imagine probably at some point this week is that's when those fighter rankings will come out. And, you know, some divisions were easier than others. Some divisions, you know, it was kind of, you know, based on, I'll tell you, probably maybe one of the harder divisions for me to do was actually light heavyweight, just because of there is a drop off, and you know, guys like Anthony Johnson and Yoel Romero were not eligible to be a part of that ranking system. Of course, they will be eligible once they do have their first Bellator fight. But myself and Daniel, we're going to preview that fight card come up here on Wednesday. Of course, headlined by Patricio Pitbull and Emmanuel Sanchez, featherweight Grand Prix semifinal matchup. Of course, also the featherweight title is on the line. Mike Hamill is going to be a part of that card, taking on Usman Nurmagomedov. I'm actually going to be speaking to Mike on Monday afternoon, so I'll have that up on the MMA Report YouTube channel. This card, you know, when I look at this Bellator card, the Neiman Gracie Jason Jackson matchup is definitely a fight that does have me intrigued. Magomedov is another guy that obviously is someone that is intriguing as well. The Maz Burnell Saul Rogers fight, I want to say I saw Nolan King put out a tweet the other day saying that that fight was off due to visa issues. So that was actually one of the fights that I was interested in. Of course, this is a week where, this weekend next weekend is Easter weekend. So we do have no UFC event next weekend. The next UFC event will be on April the 10th. That'll be the Till versus Vettori card. Of course, that's going to be a card that's going to air on ABC. Afternoon card, main card start time at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I will tell you, I mean, sometimes I don't look too much ahead in terms of the UFC schedule. So like last night watching the fights was actually really the first time I really kind of taked in what that fight card is. And, you know, there's some matchups that definitely are intriguing to me outside of the main event. You know, the co-main event's a nice matchup at 145 pounds of Sadiq Youssef and Arnold Allen. That Mike Perry, Daniel Rodriguez matchups that's going to kick off the main card. I think that fight has got excitement written all over that one. That was, looking at some other ones, Impa will be another guy that, seeing kind of how he looks, obviously a guy that I've been following now for the past couple of years. And, if you listen to last Wednesday's edition of the podcast, and this kind of goes back to Bellator, is, what's going on with the weigh-in procedures with this one. And, weigh-in discussion has been a big topic over the past couple of weeks or so. And, I had a conversation with Mike Mazzulli talking about the weigh-in protocols, when a fighter misses weight previously, the things that they have to do in terms of, getting a doctor, to basically for a doctor to approve them, continuing to cut down to a certain weight. So, there's ever since what happened, 2 weeks ago with Storalinko, it kind of feels like it, because of the MMA news cycle, it's always something else is happening that really there hasn't been much talk about it. But I will tell you that I keep hearing that these commissioners are looking at ways to, how can we make it a safer situation? So that is going to be I'm going to pay attention to over the next couple of weeks. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking some time out of your day to download this edition of the MMA Report podcast. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, be sure to do that on your favorite podcasting platform. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate if you would leave a rating and review. That does help me out a lot as well. And of course, as I mentioned, next episode of the podcast will come out on Wednesday as myself and Daniel Galvan, we will take a look back at UFC 260. Also look ahead to this week's Bellator event. Of course, if there's any topic or, discussion point you want us to have on the podcast, you can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram at Jason _Floyd. I know sometimes Instagram can be a little bit easier just because you, my DMs are not open on Twitter. I've been thinking about what, you know, whether or not to maybe open those things up on Twitter, which I may do. Or you can also, you know, email it to me, jason@themareport.com. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report Cup podcast, which comes out 2 times a week on Sunday and Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com.